This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I'm Matt. Dave.
Okay. All right. So who was the person to do this as a movie? And were you concerned because the televisions were like 10, 11 minutes to do it as a full-length feature?
No, I think once we came up with, once we figured out what we were going to do, it was easy to go right into making the movie, because we knew we wanted to do a movie for a while, so it wasn't that hard of a leap for us.
So we heard the Comic-Con story where right before people went on stage, you're like, we're going to talk about how we're making a movie. So is that the origin of the announcement with that Comic-Con with no actual...
Yeah, there was no movie in production at that time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just we're constantly talking about making a movie up to the point where my wife is like, stop talking about making a movie until you're actually making a movie.
Why? Because the movie makes it real? I mean, is that like bigger than doing a TV show?
We just wanted to plant the seed in Adult Swim's mind that there might be a movie being made.
Yeah, it is bigger,
because
too.
You could do more? I mean, you could...
More DVD sales.
Yeah, it was all about language and the language we could use.
I'm so, yeah. We can finally use the F word. We've been so creatively stifled because the F word is the one thing we haven't been able to say. It is a bigger thing. I mean, we're getting to stay at Four Seasons. That's bigger. You know?
But seriously, at the Sheridan. The screening yesterday, supposedly, that people reacted when Frylock said fuck.
So. Oh, yeah, they do. We actually had a screening where we did a distributor screening in L.A. where we got the sound. We were just slammed in trying to get it done in time for the screening. We screwed up the sound a little bit, and so the bleeps were off. So it was like, you know.
But it worked.
Yeah. So what the fuck? But people talked about that, and so we responded to, we sort of kept some of that. Sometimes things are bleeped, sometimes things are bleeped after the fact.
Sometimes there's the bleep and the word.
Simultaneous.
So it just worked.
So can you talk about the creative process of bringing this as a feature versus the TV show?
Yeah, well, usually we write the show in one day, and this took 4 days, so that was creative.
Yeah, 70 pages long. So, you know, you got to put your time in.
That's it.
Right. When the editor says, "Hey, can you sit down and watch this with me?" It's not like, "Hey, let me get a cup of coffee." It's like, "Jesus, let me figure out my schedule."
So how was the origin? You always wanted to go into the origins of the show, and how did the exercise machine motif?
Oh, well, naturally, I mean, that leads to any origin in life.
Matt and I had both gotten Bowflexes, and we were exercising a lot and taking our shirts off at work and sort of comparing our muscles. And then we thought, hey, this would make a great, great motion picture.
A great movie.
Us in front of the mirror.
How did Basket Case 3, Hellraiser 3, and playing the electric guitar help you with this?
You looked up Wikipedia. There you go.
It helps. I think, you know, Dave and I have different interests when it comes to movies and music, and some more horror, heavy metal. Dave's more comedy, more other kind of music, and I think...
Gay music,
actually, yeah. I didn't want to say it, but it just, you know, it just makes for a good meld, you know? It makes for just a different creative show. We're not both watching the same things. We're not both influenced by the same things. We bring it together, and then, you know, dreams come true.
Do you think you have a sixth sense of humor?
Of urine?
humor.
A sixth sense?
I think we both sort of respond to the shocking, mm-hmm. you know, type of humor. I mean, Matt says he's not a big comedy guy, but, I mean, if you look at some of those horror movies, I mean, they're just pure... You know, that shocking horror. You know, I mean, there's a connection there, you know, so.
The robot, to me, looks like Crow from Misty 3K. Is there any kind of homage to that at all? Because if you compare...
No, actually there isn't, because...
The schnout of him, he looks very much like him.
That's interesting, because you were, like, running off getting married or something when I was designing that thing with Matt, and so I've never really seen that show.
Amazing. Well, you should go see it, and you'll see what I mean, because it's awesome. Obviously that's a live-action robot, and you guys are...
Yeah, but I remember... Yeah, I remember, I mean, there was, like, they added the mohawk later. Is that, does the MST3K
have a mohawk? Time. I can't remember, but it does, like, the nose, the face is what looked like.
Some sporting equipment for animals.
Yeah, that goes on.
No, weird.
I think he played the beach with the ball.
Have y'all seen the movie? Or
yeah.
Oh, okay, good. We
no
talked a lot to people that haven't.
There's no robot in the movie.
Yeah.
And we know.
Okay, never mind. I was just throwing it out there because it looked
did
like
did you see the
alien.
Sequel or the first one? The sequel's in production.
How did you in the first place come up with this concept of, I mean, a drink and fries? I'm teasing people, going, oh, I'm talking to a French fry later today. You know, I mean, but it's funny. Where did you get the idea of even doing it?
We wrote these characters into a Space Ghost show a long time ago when we were doing Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And they were part of the show, and they hijacked the whole show. We never got to make that show. And, and Dave and I knew that there was something to these guys for their own gig, and we just held on to it and pushed it and got it done.
I think we were also kind of just sort of a little spent on Space Ghost, and it showed in that script. It was all those characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, Space Ghost had two lines in it. That's why our executive producer was like, "We're going to beef up the Space Ghost in this Space Ghost Coast to Coast episode." Or I think we just fell in love with the characters when we were making that.
Did they come up with the idea? Can you make it a drink and fries? Or did you come up?
Oh, we did. We came up with it,
I just wondered where that idea would even come from.
Yeah, it came from us.
You go to McDonald's one day and go, wow, this would be funny.
Although, you know, you think about it, I can't think of any specific characters, but, I mean, it's just a long history of advertising and making the objects that you sell into actually cute characters in order to somehow make them more appealing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that thought went into this, but then, obviously, when we made the show, we were like, that'll be interesting for about 2 seconds, you know? It's better to just make them just crappy post-college roommates in some crappy rental house.
The opening is brilliant. Oh, I mean, did you guys, as little kids, see that in the theater where it goes, let's all go to the lobby, and then they all these talking food, and then that... It was so brilliant, that opening. Where did that come from in your heads? Have you seen that, or...
I think, obviously we had both. I mean, I remember the dancing Nacho coming out and the pepper, and we wanted those guys just to get the shit beat out of them by some other bad food or candy.
Right. What was your guys' reaction to what happened in Boston? I don't know if you can even legally say you knew about it beforehand, but what was the...
What happened in Boston, we don't even know. We're not allowed to talk
about
Boston.
The lead singer?
Were we surprised with the uproar? Or were you surprised with...
But yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, wow. You know, your characters,
Do you guys want to send, like, DVDs to Boston Police now? Like, see your cartoon characters?
I think we would love to talk about this, but...
We can't.
Believe me, we could keep you here all day.
On the show, do you guys have any Bible for continuity? Because I remember in the first season, anytime they went to the mall, it would still always have the rabbit hole, which I thought was awesome. But then later episodes, characters die, they come back the next episode.
Yeah, we don't have any Bible or continuity or storyboards or anything. We just if we happen to think of that, it's like, oh, the rabbit hole should be there. Do we have money to put that in?
It's actually there, though, in the movie. In the high-res sort of version of the loft, we wanted to kind of have an homage to old episodes. And you can see the rabbit hole's been remortared.
Yeah. Rabbit's in the scene, too. And then when they come back from the past, he's way back there.
We have all these characters from the history of the show that are just hidden throughout the movie.
Does Adult Swim ever give you any sort of, hey, why are you killing off Frylock in this episode or whatever?
They don't even know. When they see it on the air, they said, why did you kill off?
Do you have to get script approval from anybody? That's cool.
No, well, legal and S&P give us a hard time, but that's it.
Yeah.
What about the formulation of the characters and the addition of Carl? The differences between the three characters and why Carl? It's Carl's role.
In the beginning, it's almost like Carl sort of grounded it in some reality. Like there actually was a sort of a, yeah. I guess, a fish out of water element where, oh, well, they live in a human world. But as the show progressed, the world just became so insane. And Carl almost became sleazier and more detestable than the Aqua Teens, where to the point where they were kind of like, living next Whoa. To Carl is kind of bringing down our real estate value.
Yeah.
Is Carl a
neighbor
of one of yours?
No.
Yeah, do you know anybody like that?
No, just go to Jersey. They're all like that.
Right?
Isn't that true? We don't know, but...
So it's a little early, but have you thought about like what you're going to do for the DVD?
Yeah, DVD's almost done, actually.
We have a whole deleted movie on the DVD.
Yeah.
Literally, like, there's a half hour worth of stuff that, you know, we just kept cutting stuff out. And, yeah, and it's got rough cuts. I mean, at some point it goes to, like, our first table read, this thing in 2004. I mean, it's... They were almost done with it. There's a lot of stuff on there. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
2.5 years of making it, you know, we documented everything, so it's really going to be chock full. You're going to get your money's worth there.
Is there going to be any sort of seamless branching, or is it just going to be the movie, and then there'll be a separate area for deleted stuff, or do you know how it's set up?
It's separate, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a two-disc set. Yeah. There's the movie, there's a full-length deleted movie, then there's other deleted scenes that didn't appear in that deleted movie. There's we did a making of documentary.
There's somebody else's movie on it.
That's right. That's right. He doesn't know about that, so maybe don't print that. We did a good half hour documentary on sort of everybody talking about it with B-roll. I mean, there's a full 10 minutes of how we made the potato gun and fired the potato gun for the one potato gun sound in the movie. There's like,
yeah.
It's full of stuff. And, I mean, you know, it took us 2.5 years. We have a small group of people. It's not like half of Korea is making our movie with us, you know. But we were also, like, making the DVD at the same time, you know. Either Matt or myself would have a camera and sort of filming what we're doing and just documenting it.
So did you do a voiceover commentary, though, over the actual movie? Or no?
We're still working on that, right?
Okay. Haven't done that yet. We haven't. There are people that we're going to do instead because we're
tired.
So tired of the movie.
We're tired of doing the same commentary over after 5 DVDs. It's like the same thing.
I know Elvis Mitchell is a fan, and I think we're going to get him to moderate some other sort of celebrity fans / people that worked on it.
Yeah.
So it'll just have a totally different feel.
I wish. I think we're trying to get David Lynch, but
Old Spice money. I don't know if we can pull him into our fold. But
are you going to be talking of a sequel at Comic-Con this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a sequel. Isn't there?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
This is bad.
I mean, this movie you're seeing is actually number 4 of the whole gamut.
That's right. That's right. There were 12 books. They were written in the stones, and we only have to find the stones in order to a season 5 DVD. You said, yeah, that's coming out in the fall.
What do you want unfamiliar people who aren't quite familiar with the show, and who you might want to attract to come to the movie? What do you want to tell them about this series?
It's a funny movie. Come see it. Let go of all your expectations of Hollywood and their formulas and just come have fun.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, if you read people that don't like it or I mean, I just had a flight, you know, and there were 2 movies that I just shut off in the middle, and the third, I'm like, is Hollywood that great that we can't make a movie, you know?
Would you like to say what movies you shut off?
No, because I really want to work with those people.
Are you shooting for a Best Animated Oscar?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The campaign starts today.
We've already written our acceptance speech.
How did you decide to cast decide who was going to do the voices? I mean, I know you do meet one. What, when you were beginning this, would you decide, oh, I think I could do this? Was there a character you felt more attracted to?
It went more, I mean, we did a table read of it, and Matt would do Frylock, and I would do Master Shake and Meatwad, and then, you know, fortunately, you know, we found Dana, who's just like this diamond in the rough. I mean, he was just like a friend of a friend, and man, I mean, he just turned
out. He didn't even call an audition. He just called and said, hey, this is Dana Snyder, and I heard about this thing. We're like, hire him.
Now, yeah, because we would get these auditions, and it would just be like, Bob Jenkins. And then you'd hear this awful audition. And,
yeah.
And then other characters like Cyber Ghost and the Moonanites, I mean, those were things where we were just like, are we going to go through the process of telling someone it's a non-union show and trying to cast it, or are we just going to get in the booth, the two of us, and just do it, you know? I like that we get other people to work on the show because it feels samey if we're doing everything, but it allows us, I think, to ad-lib within the limited confines of our script, and you know, because we know the characters and we're able to do it. So
okay, I just want to clarify one thing. Their mother is a multi-layered bean burrito. We know that. Mm-hmm. Okay, but they're
typical 5 o'clock ending.
The end of the movie, who their daddy is? Who's your daddy? I mean, mm-hmm. You obviously meant to leave it like that. Right?
Yeah, sequel.
So okay,
sequel,
so we still don't know if it's the watermelon slice or the mad doctor. Or we don't.
We'll learn more about Walter.
So I didn't get that right. I was just wondering if I missed something. Okay.
No, you got that. You were very clear on that.
Okay.
How do you pitch this concept to somebody, to like a producer? How do you sit them down and tell them you want to
animate? You don't. You start doing it, and then you come back later and tell them that you're already starting to spend their money on it. Do they like it?
But you have to be there and have access to their money and the codes for the financing.
So
and all
the trick
that.
Is you get a job and you work your way up to writer-producer.
You work in the library, or in the library, and yeah, as long as you can get to those codes.
Do your YouTube fans and the fans of this series scare you? I mean,
not me.
You know, they obviously ask you questions, you know, about motivations and things like that, mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering how you react to that.
Hyper powerlifting?
we're pretty cool. I mean, as long as I didn't, like not mowing the lawn and see one in the bushes and go, hey. No, it hasn't gotten like that. You know, in answer to your thing, I mean, we had actually, we worked there and we pitched it from within and they had, we didn't know what we were doing pitching really. I mean, we had drawn pictures on, you know, we were handing them out and there was just, yeah, I mean, had we had to pitch that in a real-world environment, I think it would have probably... We would have been shown the door pretty quickly, so...
You didn't have to make anything up. Even though you were coming from the inside, you didn't have to say...
We had to make up a conversation. That's it. Yeah. I mean, in pictures, you know.
And we had to make up a back... We knew they were going to say, well, where do they come from? And we just were like, Lincoln, Egypt, space, you know.
We wrote that in like the time it took to actually... do the physical typing with your fingers. I mean, there was no thought in that.
That way we didn't lock ourselves in.
Right.
We had freedom to deviate.
What is your process like then? Who does, is somebody better at one thing than another, or, you know, better at dialogue or story or whatever?
No, it's just flip a coin to see who wants to hold the computer.
Yeah, I mean,
just start talking and walking through it and you know, lately, I mean, it's like, I'm literally, it's like 2 hours we have a draft, just because we know these people so well.
So you're in the same room when you work, you don't, like, send in something on the...
No, we work together. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot of, I mean, everything goes in, and I think it also goes in with the knowledge that we're going to mess around with it in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like the whole thing is ad-libbed, I think that's probably, but, you know, it's certainly I'd say it's 70-80% on the page.
You guys ever get into any sort of creative fights, or do you just, you know, surrender when someone's like, I really want to do this?
No. We haven't really... We've debated about certain ideas, but we ended up just doing them later.
There are moments where, you know, one of us might be crazier about something than another, and I'm, you know, like, I think there was one thing that I probably, like, begged Matt for about 2 years, and finally he said, you know what, yeah, sure, we'll do that. But I mean, that's one specific thing. I don't know. We generally get very happy on something before we even sort of start writing. We'll come up with an idea, and then it just flows from there.
You know, fisticuffs in the writing room.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
You got so much. You're fighting all the time. You know, you can't always be getting along.
Yeah, we don't.
Do you have a certain character on it that you like the most, or you like writing for the most?
I don't. I think writing for all of them is fine.
I think so too. I've been doing these Carl blogs though, just because. Yeah, but then they never get to the internet, so it doesn't matter. Because after Standards and Practices and Illegal are done, it's just like, what's the point? But I've had more fun doing that than
anything you've ever done in your life.
Maybe.
You ever think about doing it on like a MySpace or anything like that? A little more.
Well, that's what it's for, but the company's just like tied to that, so whatever.
Does the whole show come from the depths of your mind, or do you draw from real life experiences for some reason? I mean, have you ever met a demonic sandwich before?
Yeah, I think everything in the show has come from things that we've experienced in our lives.
There are totally connections. I mean, it's weird. It's like episodes involve real estate that sort of coincide with times that we were buying houses or getting married or having kids. There's a connection where it's not like we, you know, sit down and say, you know, I'm having a kid in 3 weeks, let's do a baby episode. But it does sort of, you know, Ezekiel last year, I think it was just, you know, we were both suffering baby fatigue, and it just sort of worked its way in through that, you know.
So do you guys hate cats?
No, we both have cats, and we love cats.
Cats are all over our DVDs.
Yeah.
So then you talk about your previous Comic-Con experiences and what it's like, the interaction with the fans, and what do you guys have planned for this year?
We love Comic-Con. We love going to see the fans, and we're glad that they're there, and you know, we love getting all the nerdy questions. It's really cool. We like them. And we're going to marry every one of them.
Is there like one nerdy question you get all the time? Like one crazy sort of thing that people always ask, and you're like, we've answered this 500 times.
Where do you get your ideas?
That one. That's the one.
I think we've only asked it 4 times, so.
It's okay.
So did you have any plans for this year? Are you going to do something from the DVD? Are you even going to go?
I think they're going to definitely be doing the DVD, and I don't know what else. And Dana keeps talking up, you know, trying to get him to do some sort of live event, and that would be fun. You know, more than just a panel, you know, some actual, performance or something. We're always like previewing shows that aren't going to air for like months, and I'm sure we'll do something. We'll have a huge presence there. It's always like the big junket for everybody at Adult Swim. So,
what about merchandising? If they're out there, I haven't seen them. Are they out there? The toys? Did you do the toys on this thing or no?
Yeah. Well, we started with a company that they put out the first line, and then they went away. So we're trying to. I think we're trying to work that.
Because it seems like these would be ideal little things.
This would be the perfect time to put that out, wouldn't it?
There's
a video game and there's a soundtrack coming out. So soundtrack comes out right before the movie.
Is it for mobile or is it for a platform?
It's for PS2 and PSP. Awesome. Yeah, we're working with Midway on that. It's taking longer to do that than the movie.
How much input do you have in the gaming?
Well, we wrote the script for it, and we try to control it, but we know that some of it's just going to get out of our hands because it's out here and we're not out here.
Is it more of a like 3D, you're in a space sort of game? Sort of mm-hmm. game or?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything, actually. A lot of blood and killing.
How did you get the idea for the penis episode, and did you have any thought about that being getting on at all?
One of those real-life things, you know. someone had commented on my penis in, at a gas station.
From,
and
yeah.
And I said, you know, that'd make a great episode.
We just went over the top with it. We, in fact, we started that episode like 2 years ago. We didn't finish it because we knew it wasn't going to work. And then last year we ran out of ideas, so we pulled that one out and said, let's just do this. Screw it.
We'll actually have the Palace of Dicks in the DVD. Undicked or redicked or whatever we'll call it.
Is Dicks the Unleashed. Is the mechanic ever going to make another appearance? The guy that's my favorite gag ever on the show is when the Meatwad sent for an estimate. And the guy sent him back all this random bullshit like, hobbit inside your crankcase is depressed. And Frylock's like, wait, is this what he wrote or is this how you heard it? What an asshole. I always want to see that guy come back.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, we're good. He's in the sequel, we think.
We may get you to sign something.
Are you
going to
be soliciting celebrity voices? Are you going to have big name voices, or do you care? Does it matter?
For the new episodes?
For the sequel.
Oh, yeah, of course we will, yeah. Bigger than Chris Kattan and Tom Cruise and...
Yeah, we have a series of emails that we sent to Tom Cruise's people about him appearing as Walter Mellon. You know what? It would have been a great career move for him.
When does the new season start?
We've written one, so probably December.
Probably not anytime soon.
You don't have any
the fall.
Deadline dates or anything?
No, it's so unorthodox down there. There's no orders. There's no anything. It's like, how many do you want to do? How many can you do? Because we're both doing other shows, too, so then we kind of come together and do this.
And actually, I know it's towards the end of the interview, but could you talk about what other things you're working on?
Yeah, I'm doing a live-action horror show for Adult Swim. It's going to be kind of like Kolchak meets Evil Dead 2.
So we're having...
Right now, the working title is Stiff, so we're waiting to see, because I know there's some other titles out there that are similar.
I have a live-action thing that's called Sea to Shining Sea. It's a sort of Charles Geralt has gone insane, and they have to replace him with this war correspondent, and so he gets in an RV and hunts this guy down with a rocket launcher and a 3D pilot that I'm working on right now.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Is that like CGI?
Yeah, but just like we do everything, super cheap.
Thank you.
See y'all.